Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
All right, I got a lot packed into this episode. It is Friday, February 11th, 2022. Hey, you know what? You want to put your trust, your faith in a politician? You see what it gets you. Earlier today, the Ontario Premier, this tyrant, Doug Ford, decided to impose a state of emergency over illegal freedom convoy. Illegal freedom convoy. See, it's not BLM. It's not Antifa. Therefore, it's illegal. All right? So what are we going to do? We're going to impose a state of emergency, and this comes really less than a day, about a half a day, after Rebel News reported that, hey, you know, he's getting inundated with messages, drop the mandates. So he was caught on tape saying, or allegedly his voice, I don't know, was it his voice? I don't know. But he was talking with Rebel News, apparently, or Rebel News got some audio saying, you know, yeah, we're going to kind of have to rethink this. We're going to be making some changes, right? Well, of course, that was all BS because Doug Ford said, nope. Here's the deal. Ford announced, just to be clear here, that he would impose a state of emergency in response to the two-week-old Freedom Convoy protest that would, he hoped, end blockades in major cities on international border crossings. You know what he has done, right? He has ignited the match where it's all going to burn down. I'm telling you, they want to burn this to the ground. When I say this, I'm talking about our freedoms, because this is going to have international ramifications. With me, Austin Brower from healthmasters.com. And let me tell you, coming right out of the gate here, let me tell you, if you're not taking nutritional supplements, then you are missing the boat. But if you're not taking Health Masters nutritional supplements, you are doing yourself a disservice, in my view. Go to healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. It's on your screen if you're watching this. If not, just put Health Masters together.com and go there and shop. Shop for your everyday vitamins, shop for your immune system nutritional supplements, because you need this. We need you in the fight, folks. We need you in the fight. We need you to be able to stand upright, to be strong, to be healthy, and this will do it, in my opinion, in my assessment, and from what I've seen and what I personally felt. Healthmasters.com, the place to go. And oh, while you're there, make sure you tune in to the Ted and Austin Brower Show every single weekday. It's right there. If you're looking at your screen right now, it's on the upper right-hand corner. That's Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time as well. Information downloads, and it's one of my favorite shows, let me tell you, in terms of getting the information. I listen to it all the time. There's so much information packed into that hour. So with me, Austin Brower. Let's get right into it, Austin. Let's talk.
Thanks for being on the show again, Doug. I love coming on here. And this just showed up about an hour ago. This entire, I don't even know really what to call it anymore, what we're seeing with the level of tyranny that's starting to ensue. But yes, they have now issued a state of emergency. And what's crazy about this, Doug, what this also means is, I pulled it up here, they are making anyone that blocks infrastructure, they're making it illegal for anyone that blocks infrastructure. Protesters will face 1 year in jail and a $100,000 fine to anyone that basically does impede infrastructure, which is doing anything on the roadway now, apparently. They said the province will also provide additional authority so that the personal and commercial licenses of protesters who do not comply will be revoked. Do you hear what they're saying here? They're saying that because you don't listen and you're protesting forced shots on you. Because remember, this whole thing started with the truckers when they said you can't come to the U.S., Canadian border if you're not fully injected with RNA gene therapy, which, by the way, we already know doesn't work at all. We do know there's significant side effects to it. All over the world, we're seeing it. We also know via the VAERS report and the Eurobase report that we're seeing millions of just reported, this is just the reported ones, millions of adverse side effects and tens of thousands of deaths from this shot. We now have the CDC coming out and saying they're going to recommend that the double shot be spread out by 8 weeks now. The Pfizer shot is supposed to be the first shot, then the second shot after 3 weeks. Moderna is the first shot, then four weeks later, you get the second shot. The CDC is saying to lower the risk of myocarditis, we're going to recommend the shot is now split out to 8 weeks. Now, I was at dinner last night with one of our good friends. Lana and I went out with them, and she was a nurse. And I was talking to her about this topic, and she's very awake now. And she goes, the thing that nobody understands, Austin, she goes, pericarditis is bad. You've had that, you recovered. She goes, myocarditis is much, much worse, and it's pretty much a death sentence. She said, you basically just are on borrowed time after you recover from myocarditis. She goes, I've seen myocarditis patients before. She goes, most of the time, they don't make it. She goes, and they do recover. The lifespan of them generally is about 5 to 10 years after they recover because the cardiac muscle cannot heal itself. You have dead heart tissue that basically your body tries to deal with, and the valves and everything never work properly 100% again after myocarditis. We know myocarditis is a direct side effect from the injection. The CDC even admits it now, and they're saying to reduce the chance to spread out the shot. And so the trucker said, how about we just don't get an injection? Or how about we just show everybody how important the truckers actually are and how much we can change the direction and scope of the entire country if we simply decide to park our trucks in the road. And they did. And now we're seeing these clowns up there. They're saying, if you do this now, we have state of emergency. Meaning, basically, like the same aspect applies if there's a terror attack or if there's a natural disaster. We have state of emergency now. It's a $100,000 fine and a year in jail if you get caught blocking the road. This is insane. And what's even crazier now, I just saw the article earlier. We know the debacle. We talked about it on the show last week with GoFundMe, how they essentially stole all the money that was donated to them, then said they were going to redistribute the money to the charitable organizations of their choice. Now they've said that they're going to refund the money back. But I told everybody that if they did it, it's my personal opinion, I said I'd back charge them. I said, if they get 20, 30, 40,000 back charges from credit card companies, their virtual terminal is going to go nuts, going to go absolutely crazy. I said, they're going to get in trouble. There's all kinds of laws with that as far as with banking and transfer of money. Well, now there's another company that came out called Give, Send, Go. It's a more conservative donation platform.
It's a Christian.
Much more conservative, not run by a bunch of banker thugs. And so people started doing Give, Send, Go. And now, you get this, the premier of Ontario now has also come in now, and they have said they have issued an order that will freeze any funds that have been raised for the alternative crowdsourcing site Give, Send, Go. April McAbee reported on citizenstringer.com, the order specifically states that the fundraising platform Give, Send, Go is prohibited from doing anything with the funds. A statement from the Office of the Premier of Ontario. Today, the Attorney General brought an application into the Superior Court of Justice for an order pursuant of Section 490.8 of the Criminal Code prohibiting any person from disposing of or otherwise dealing with in any manner whatsoever of any monetary donations made through the Freedom Convoy 2022 and Adopt the Trucker campaign pages on Give, Send, Go online fundraising platform. This afternoon, the order was issued. It is binding, and all parties with possession or control over these donations must be seized. They literally are stealing money from a crowdfunding donation source site and saying, you cannot give money to these people, period. Now, what's interesting, Doug, this just grinds me on this one. You remember, I remember, we all got subjected to it almost a year and a half ago now, summer 2020, when we had BLM terrorists and Antifa terrorists literally burning entire cities down, throwing Molotov cocktails and incendiary devices and homemade explosive devices and federal agents and state law enforcement, having them burn down police precincts, having them drag people out of their cars and curb stomp them unconscious. Is that that BLM terrorist group and Antifa terrorist group? Those people, the entire time, were being given hundreds of thousands of dollars through GoFundMe. And not one single time did GoFundMe come in and say, you know what, we're not going to do this. We're not going to give money to this group anymore. Not one single time did Trump come in and say, we're going to stop crowdfunding. We're not going to allow any of this money to be distributed to BLM or Antifa groups at all, period. We're seizing the funds that people legally donated to legal groups. Not one single time that happened, Doug. But now we see protests for 2 weeks. 2 weeks in Canada from truckers that are protesting mandated injections of RNA gene therapy. And now we're going to tell them if you protest, it's a $100,000 fine and a year in jail. We're in a state of emergency and you're not allowed to give money. It's illegal to give money to these groups. Same thing they were doing with the fuel last week, trying to steal fuel from people. Oh, yeah, there you go. The Detroit, Los Angeles, Salt Lake, Atlanta, Philly, Portland, Minneapolis. There's also Washington, D.C. You know, remember that one, too?
Remember,
yeah, yeah. Oh, you can't. I mean, I think it was 140 cities total that were hit. It was 142 cities total. I mean, that those look like war zones, Doug. I've seen war zones that are not even that nasty compared to those photos. Yet, you're talking about totally cool for them to do that, but truckers are protesting for 2 weeks for human and health rights? This has gone nuts. And this shows you, this is exactly what we warned everybody about. When you comply with tyranny, when you go along with tyranny, and you hand over your power and you hand over your rights to people that are tyrants, they never give you your rights or freedom back voluntarily or easily. They fight for it because they love it. They are high on it and they are drunk on this newfound power. And we now see the perfect example of why you should never comply or listen to illegal and constitutional laws, mandates, requirements, whatever other weird word. You know, the term mandate came about. Everybody heard that. But the truth about it is a mandate isn't a law. It's nothing. It's like when the CDC was coming in, we're mandating that you have to wear a mask. Well, last time I checked, the CDC is not an enforcement agency. They have no stand at all to tell people what they can and can't do. Yet they told an entire industry, the cruise industry, you're not allowed to operate, period. You have to put your boats in. Can't do anything with them. Put them up. This is what we're seeing now over and over and over again. This is why I've encouraged so many people for the last 2 years. I've fought tooth and nail. You cannot continue to comply with any of this stuff. It is going to be inconvenient. It is going to be nasty. It is going to be uncomfortable. But we have to push back and stand up as much as we possibly can. They are on a full-blown war to take over the entire world. This was the beta test to see what they could do with COVID. This isn't going to stop with COVID. They're probably going to slow down some, and they're going to hand the peasants a few of their privileges back because they're no longer rights. When the government hands you something that you're allowed to do, that is a privilege, that's no longer a right. When they can take it away from you without cause and without you saying anything, that is a privilege, not a right. Last time I checked, it's not the Bill of Privileges in the United States. It's the Bill of Rights, like the First and Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is there to protect the First Amendment. And once those two go, there's nothing left of the Bill of Rights. It's useless. The rest of them are nothing. And now we're seeing this entire topic we brought up about this HIV outbreak. Oh, there's all these individuals, you know, non-homosexual men that are suddenly contracting HIV after they get COVID.
Wait a second. Before you get into that, because that's we need to spend some time on that. I just want to show you this. This is from AOC back in December of 2020, a year and a half ago, roughly. Look at that tweet, folks. And she writes this: the whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable. Activists take that discomfort with the status quo and advocate for concrete policy changes. Popular support often starts small and grows. To folks who complain, protest demands make others uncomfortable. Well, that's the point. That's from Alexandria Sandy Ocasio-Cortez. Okay, so to what you said just moments ago about the truckers. You know, Now, I know this is the United States and that's Canada. They've got a charter of rights. We've got a constitution. But you know something? What you said makes so much sense, too. They will acquiesce a little bit. Go ahead. You know, we'll drop the mask mandates. But, oh, my goodness, no, we have to have the vaccine passports or whatever it might be, you know, the green card, the green pass, whatever it's called. And so this is not going to end well. So you're exactly right. Just to wrap up that bit that you said, again, with Austin Brower, this is not going to end unless we make it end. Folks, you know, hold the line. We have to hold the line. We have to be very strong in this and never give up. Don't give an inch because they will take a mile. They're like that uncontrollable teenager growing up, okay? Do not let up. And that's all I've got to say. And, you know, out of Ocasio-Cortez's own words, hey, this is designed to make you uncomfortable. Now, the difference is the truckers have bouncy castles for the kids, and they're feeding the homeless and picking up after themselves. They're not, don't believe the crap that you see, right? Okay, so versus what? Burning down, courthouses with people in it. And you know, hey, that's fine, right? So anyway, again, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. Folks, go there now. Make sure you are really order ahead. Get a supply in your medicine cabinet or your supply closet of supplements. Now, you're talking about HIV, because this, to me, is fascinating. This is, and I've been following your work on this, you and your dad's work on this. Folks, I'm going to tell you what, go to healthmasters.com, listen to the shows, but go ahead, let's talk about this HIV stuff, because Fauci was the numero uno individual pushing the vaxes for HIV and AIDS, and he was big in the AIDS research, and I know the body count is beyond anything I can count, especially here in the United States, by this Dr. Mengele 2.0. Go ahead, sir.
No, that's exactly what's going on. It's getting crazier and crazier. And the more that you see people stand up for their rights, the more you're going to see the individuals that are trying to run the show, these tyrants. They're going to push back. They do not want to let this up. And what's funny, you made that comment about how these protesters, they're actually keeping everything really clean. They're taking care of the city. They're having food banks and basically doing all this stuff and helping people out. I remember seeing photos even of BLM terrorist protests where they didn't actually burn a building down, which that was rarity, or they didn't throw fireworks and Molotov cocktails at law enforcement. That was also a rarity. And you'd see photos afterwards, and there would literally be piles of trash just skewed all over the road, all over the sidewalk, piles of signs, piles of pickets, just garbage, complete and total low-life scum that were in those groups. All they wanted to do was go out and have an excuse to loot, burn, and rob and pillage. That's all those groups were. And a lot of them were paid communists. We saw numerous Craigslist ads where they were recruiting paid protesters to come out and protest and pay them $25 an hour. That all went on. That's why GoFundMe didn't block them. That's why nobody came in and said, we're going to stop these people from getting money. That's why nobody actually looked at the root source and found that George Soros was one of the main contributors to those groups. Now, going further of what we were just talking about. So right when COVID started to occur at the beginning of 2020, there was research that got published out of Japan or out of China, somewhere, where they were researching the fact when they analyzed SARS-CoV-2 that it had an HIV component to it. And that basically it was going to be causing issues. That's one of the reasons why it hit the immune system so hard. Now, the research on that was pretty much scrubbed almost immediately when it came out. It got almost no coverage. And Ted talked about it in detail. He actually broke it on our show. Now, what was interesting about it is that now you're hearing about these individuals that are suddenly coming out with this HIV outbreak over in Europe and people catching COVID. They're basically non-homosexual males and they're getting HIV. Now, Prince Harry, he's coming out and doing a big ad campaign saying everybody needs to go get tested for HIV immediately. Well, first off, you don't just catch HIV. It's not a rhinovirus. It's not a COVID virus. You don't walk down the street, suddenly get a whiff of a virus, and now you have AIDS. What we're starting to see, what we thought before, was that because the spike protein caused issues with the immune system, but the body could still recover from it from a natural standpoint if you had your immune system strong, your vitamin C, your D3, your zinc, your quercetin. We've talked about the research on that. Well, we don't know what the heck is in these injections. We have no idea. We've already said that. Pfizer will not release the actual full ingredient base. They had this list they put out a while back, but there's not an actual true breakdown of what they put in there with the RNA gene therapy. Well, what's funny is I started to do some research and digging, and I'm finding that all of these cases, and they're not wanting to talk about it or publish it, just from a snippet that I've been able to find so far, is that the individuals that are getting positive for HIV, they've all been vaccinated from what I have read so far. Now, I could be wrong on that as far as when more research comes out, they may try to actually shadow ban that and drop it. But the few cases that I've looked up, and I've been talking to a lot of different people now, I'm emailing people that I know that are contacts, and they're seeing the exact same thing. And they've told me this for months. They said there was something weird going on because it was acting like HIV in the body as far as what a lot of people were having issues with, autoimmune problems and all these horrible debilitating side effects from the shot in some cases. Well, it's interesting. Now, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, 2 weeks ago, Moderna announced that the first participants have been vaccinated in the phase one clinical trial for the experimental HIV vaccine that utilizes Moderna's RNA technology, the company announced last week. The trial IAVIG-002 is being conducted in partnership with AIVI, a nonprofit scientific research organization. It's testing a vaccine that delivers HIV antigens to the body with the goal of inducing an immune response with RNA gene therapy. The new trial, which is funded in part by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, will follow 56 HIV negative adult participants with the goal of studying both the safety and the efficacy of the vaccine. 48 of the volunteers received at least one dose of the primary vaccine. 32 will receive the booster. The remaining 8 will receive the booster, just the booster alone. Now, as soon as you find out that Bill and Melinda Gates is behind this, automatically that sends up a giant red flare gun because you already know they're very, very blatant eugenics. I mean, that they love eugenics. The difference that I'm still trying to analyze and figure out with this, because there's very little detail on what they're actually doing. We already know the COVID injection was an utter failure. The whole concept of what it does I should say it's a failure from actually preventing COVID. Now, making people unbelievably sick for the rest of their lives, that seems to be a pretty accurate thing that they did. And that was a success when it comes to that. We know that CDC, as I talked about earlier, is now saying that the myocarditis from the RNA injection, it basically is so bad they need to cut the shots in an 8-week span instead of a 4-week span. So now we have the brilliant idea of, hey, the shot was a complete failure preventing COVID. The shot is making everybody sick. We need to modify the shot now, and we need to start injecting people with it to see how they handle it if they get HIV. This is not a joke, and I personally think COVID was the first track when they started testing these waters. Because remember, I've said this 50 times now, RNA gene therapy was never approved by the FDA for human testing under any circumstances. They blatantly said it. Sorry about that. My phone's ringing. They blatantly said that the RNA gene therapy was never approved for humans. They said they did not know the long-term viability of it and the safety of it. Then suddenly, out of nowhere, they turn around and say, oh, by the way, we're going to approve clinical trials to start testing RNA for the COVID shot. There's something very sinister what's going on with this HIV injection, and I will not put it past anybody, because I said this before. The passports, the COVID passports that you see in France, and you see a lot of them, there's multiple slots open in France and Germany. I think they have 7 slots, blank slots to fill in. I personally think what they're going to do next, and it may be something, maybe HIV, it may be something similar to that. Whoops. But I think they're getting ready for the next gear up. And we talked about this, what was going on in China not too long ago. I think they're getting ready to start the next phase of their COVID plan to bring in another alleged pandemic or something of the sorts, so that then they can come in and say, oh God, guess what, guys? You got to get your HIV shot now. You got to get your HIV injection, and you got to get your booster shot, and then continue to push the boogeyman narrative. Because remember, the COVID narrative is pretty much grenaded for the most part. There is no efficacy to anything they've done now. Nothing they did that they said was going to work. It's a failure. From a research study, the lockdowns, the masks, the restrictions, the injections, John Hopkins University, and we talked to last week, how they blatantly came out and said, listen, the mandates, there's no correlation with reduced mortality at all. There's none. Well, what's interesting about it is now I joke about this to everybody all the time. And I said, Florida is the prime example on why COVID was a complete and total hoax. Now, were people getting sick? Absolutely. Were some people that had multiple comorbidities and obese, were they catching the virus and dying? Absolutely. The stuff will put you on your butt for a week. If you're not healthy and you got a lot of health problems, you don't take care of yourself and you're really overweight, it can kill you. Do I know anybody that was a grown, adult, healthy individual that wasn't elderly or wasn't sick, wasn't comorbidity, wasn't basically obese, directly died from COVID? No, have not found one single instance of that at all. Now, I know a lot of people that were healthy and they went to the hospital and they started them on remdesivir and they killed them dead as a doornail. That's horrible. And that's exactly what they've been doing now to keep the narrative up. Standard care, put them on remdesivir drip, put them on antibiotic drip. When their kidneys start failing, because remdesivir blatantly kills the kidneys and the liver, the research shows that, the clinical trials show that, even Wikipedia says the side effects from remdesivir are organ failure and kidney and liver failure. When the kidneys shut down, what happens? You start holding water. When you start holding water, you start getting edema. Your lungs start filling up with water. When you start filling up with lungs in your fluid, you start getting pneumonia. What do they do? We got to drain them and put them on a vent. They put you on a vent, death sentence. Every single time I've seen it happen in the hospital, it's horrible. So they've kept that narrative going to keep the COVID lie going. The problem is now the narrative shot. The majority of people are realizing it. And that's why I joke around. Like I said, last night I was joking and we were out. And I went to Monster Jam the week before last when we were out, and we were at the Raymond James Stadium, giant stadium, holds like 40,000 people, like hardly anybody at all. I saw the entire time, ever wearing a mask. And imagine that, we're not having some massive outbreak in Florida. And I joke and I say, the perfect example on why the COVID mandates and the restrictions were a complete and total hoax is we in Florida haven't had any restrictions since June 2020. No mask mandates anymore, no lockdowns, no vaccine passports. Vast majority of Florida isn't vaccinated. I know a lot of people down here that have gotten it, but I know a lot of people that haven't gotten it. If COVID was so deadly and it was so dangerous and it warranted locking down everything, why in the world aren't we all dead down here in Florida? Why haven't Florida capsized and turned into an island and sunk because everybody rolled over dead? The whole state's gone. It didn't happen at all. Our death rate in Florida didn't change from its normal. We have lots of people that die. Between like 60 to 150,000 people a year die every single year in Florida. The snake bit, gator bit, hurricane, fall off a roof, get old and die. It happens. But that shows you the narrative was a total fallacy, which means they've got to stir up and they've got to release a new boogeyman now. And I think that's what they're starting to do with all this talk about HIV now and talking about it. Why in the world, Doug, suddenly, coincidentally, they're working on phase 1 trials of an RNA gene therapy, HIV, you know, vaccine. They've never had a successful HIV vaccine, but suddenly this thing's starting to come to a close and the narrative's collapsing. And now Moderna gets the green light and funding for Bill and Melinda Gates to start doing HIV clinical trials with RNA gene therapy injections. When we saw the original one did nothing to fight COVID. Nah, man, this is not coincidental at all, in my opinion, Doug. What do you think?
You know, what bothers me, and I'm looking at my notes now here, is Fauci, who never met a disease that he didn't think of a vaccine, you know, would be suitable for. I mean, he spent really a half of a century attempting to elevate vaccines or jab juices to contain first HIV/AIDS, which, you know, I find this very suspicious. That was back in 1983, SARS and O3. MERS again in 14, and then the bird flu in 05, swine flu in 09. And I can go on and on and on. But here's my question. I got some questions. Oh, by the way, in the Fauci archives, which you can find, they're pretty much scrubbed from the internet, but there's a few sites, including the Children's Defense Network, that has this on it. Fauci was talking in the mid-80s about this long incubation period for HIV / AIDS. Now, there's no connection, by the way, between HIV and AIDS. Folks have to understand this, okay? But there's no connection there. But anyway, Fauci was talking back in the mid-80s about how just being in the same room with someone, you can catch AIDS. And isn't that just, he overstated everything in order to bring forth this jab juice back then in the mid-80s. So here's, but having said all of that, what you said is absolutely true. I think we're looking at a number of scenarios here. I think the jab juice, yeah, there's something really evil about that, okay, with respect to the contents in the different batches and such. But hold that thought. My question, and I'm going to ask you this question. Is it possible that in the gain of function or weaponization research that was funded by Fauci, handled by Ralph Baric, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, Jeremy Farrar over in the UK, and others, Shi Zheng Li, in addition to everybody else, doing the research on the bats, is it possible that they could have, that this, whatever this virus they released, could it contain the architecture of AIDS?
Weaponized HIV.
Yes.
Yes. There's a very high probability with the chimeric work they were doing with making these chimeric viruses, which means they're taking multiple viruses and they're splicing them together, which is what SARS-CoV-2 was. It was a genetically modified virus, so to speak. That's why it was so easy to contract, and that's why it put a lot of people on their butt, and it also caused a lot of adrenal fatigue. That's why if you had COVID, you noticed a week or so afterwards, you're very tired. You didn't have a lot of energy. It was very, very weaponized. There's no question about that. That's what they were working on, the research in Wuhan. It is highly possible that they could have weaponized HIV and basically modified the SARS-CoV-2 and added more of an HIV link to it, or modified whatever. I mean, these guys are mad scientists, though. That's the thing about it. When you start allowing scientists to play God and they start going and saying, we're going to dig up bodies from Norway, we're going to pull out their tissue so we can get the plague out of them, and we're gonna weaponize the plague, the black plague, just because, you know, we need to do it so we can know if anybody else does it, we can send it back to them, you know, because that's what normal people do. They try to resurrect the black plague and figure out how to weaponize it. It's lunacy. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something, especially when it comes to this genetic altering. And so with the shot, the COVID shot that came out, and that being RNA gene therapy, and then now talking about HIV RNA gene therapy, basically vaccine, it's not a vaccine. I hate using that term. That's what everybody refers it to, but it's not a vaccine. It's gene therapy. It's highly likely that they've worked on or are working or have already worked on some type of modified SARS-CoV with HIV or whatever you want to put a name on it, because the reason why they'd be making an injection like this with RNA doesn't make any sense, other than they know specifically something's about to occur. Remember, they're already working. They're already talking about a COVID shot as soon as COVID even got mentioned. Nobody even knew what was going to go on with that at first. They're already talking. Oh, remember, Israel was the first one to come out and say, oh, we've already developed the research for a COVID vaccine with RNA. Whoa, so you just pulled that one out of the air? Like, you just predicted that was going to happen? You did research that can take decades to work on and perfect with gene therapy, and you just all of a sudden just had it out of nowhere? And then all of a sudden it's ready to go to market within, what, 8-9 months? Approval, everything, emergency use, no long-term testing, no viability whether it's going to work long-term, no idea if it's going to kill you long-term, nothing. 9 months, that's long enough to put it together. Everybody needs to get injected with it. Oh, and by the way, now we're going to mandate that you have to get it. You're not going to be able to work or travel or do pretty much anything without getting the shot. Now, I don't buy it, man. This whole thing with this push now, talking about HIV all in the news, and now this injection, there's something very, very sinister about this. And again, when you look back at the track record of the government and their inability to ever relinquish power once they start getting their dirty little hands on everybody's stuff, that's like when people talk about, oh, there's just going to be an incremental tax here and it'll come back down. I've never seen a tax come back down. Taxes only continue to go up. You get taxed on your taxes that you already paid taxes on from the money that was already taxed, that you spent, that got taxed. This is what they do. And this is continually why they're trying to restrict everybody. The same thing is going on with the auto industry right now.
To what you said, I just want to, one of my favorite quotes from John Adams, liberty once lost is lost forever. You know, we're not going to get it back. So go ahead, sir.
That's exactly right. And that's why I had been trying to tell everybody, we have to continually talk and push and demand that this EV protocol do not go into place. Do not support it. The only way it's supported is if people buy it. The entire push for EV is for one specific reason, to have a shutoff switch and to be able to control and monitor and dictate what you can do and where you can travel. Still currently right now, having the ability to jump in your car and go down the road freely, unmolested on your way is pretty much one of the last freedoms people have. Now you're supposed to have a driver's license and a tag and all that and so forth. And there's, you know, whatever. But even if you don't, say you got a car, no tag, no insurance, no driver's license, you can still get in that car if you want. And you can drive. Now, you're breaking the law for not having a tag on the car and you don't have a driver's license, but you can still just drive. Drive wherever you want. Just go. On your way. Jump on the interstate and go. That's no good. The peasants can't be allowed to travel. They have to restrict movement. I talked to one of my friends yesterday who's doing some welding for me that works with a big car dealership down here. They have like three different dealerships through Central Florida. They primarily do a lot of trucks and lifted trucks and stuff. And he told me the exact same thing. Again, I've heard this now from like six different dealers. They said the truck shortage is not a parts problem. It is not a chip problem. They've intentionally cut back production and parts and ordering and. It was all done intentionally. Now, are there shortages on stuff? Yes. Have there been shortages because of COVID? Yes. But is it to the extent that they're making it be? And is it completely organic and just it was because of COVID? Absolutely not. They're reducing the overall usage of the internal combustion engines and they're pricing them out of the market. That's why you're seeing vehicles that are up 35, 40% over a year and a half ago. Go try to buy a car at a dealership now. Half these dealerships are ripping everybody off, putting $10,000 and $20,000 addendums on trucks on top of sticker price, and people are paying it. And what they're going to do is the EV vehicles that are coming in, if you've ever looked at these, they come in super cheap, and they get government subsidy rebates. So like if you go buy an electric vehicle in certain states, they'll give you like a $7,500 rebate back. When you buy the car, so if you buy the car, it's only 30, 40 grand. You get a $7,500 rebate on it. Heck, you can get in a nice little Tesla for, you know, 30 grand. Shoot, you can't even really buy a Honda Civic for 30 grand right now. They do not want people to have the ability to travel. And this is why in the infrastructure bill, they specifically had the pilot program. And by 2025, they want to make sure all microphones and cameras and recording devices are inside vehicles in order to prevent drunk driving. They also have a monitor switch that they discuss. They don't call it a kill switch. They call it a monitor switch for safety. That if an individual is driving impaired and the car notices he's driving impaired, they can safely shut the vehicle down and pull it to the side of the road. And the perpetrator can be apprehended because of his blood alcohol level being too low and he was driving distracted. And, you know, the morons on the left go, yay, oh, it's for safety. It's for safety. It's for safety's protection. No, it's not. It's 100% designed in order to control. Think about it right now. If all these trucks right now were EV that were doing this protest, think about it. How quickly could they have shut the trucks off before they even got to Ottawa, before they even got to Alberta? As soon as they saw on Facebook they were going to start doing a protest, all the vehicles go, I'm sorry, Mr. Jim, you liked a Facebook post that states you're going to a truck rally. That truck rally is considered illegal in your country. Your vehicle has now been disabled until you remove your post and you make sure that you are not going anywhere and you sign a sworn affidavit that you will not return to this protest. That's what they're going to do. That's exactly what they have planned on it. And it's funny, I remember a while back ago, I basically had, you know, a buddy that was dealing with a bunch of stuff with ATF. You know, I'm in the gun industry a lot, and ATF is probably one of the most far-fetched, moronic alphabet agencies that's ever been put into existence, and their complete and total inability to do anything legitimate except transfer machine guns and 50 caliber weapons to the drug cartel, but that's a topic for another day. They had basically asked him about certain parts that he was getting, and basically some of them were possibly illegal, and he said, I don't know anything about it. When they came back with an affidavit, and they said, you have to sign this stating that you know some of those parts were illegal and that if you get caught with them, they're illegal. And basically, you're stating that you don't have them. And I remember he had told me, he talked to his attorney. He's like, dude, I told him they kiss my blankety blank. So I'm not signing anything. They said, you have to sign it. And he said, oh, my attorney is getting on the phone now. He put his attorney on the phone and he asked his attorney, you know, so-and-so, do I have to sign this paperwork? He said, absolutely not. Nobody can force you to put your signature, coerce you to sign something. It's against the law. And then the ATF agent said, well, I'm signing here that you refuse to sign it. He goes, whatever you want. So you can draw smiley faces on it, moron. He said, if you don't have a warrant, get off my property. And they left. And he told me the same thing. He said, never sign anything. Never put your name on anything. Because when you do that, you basically are telling them, you know now it's illegal and you're blatantly doing that. They want to make sure they're going to start doing a lot of this stuff with forcing people to go through all these hoops now. Think about why they're going to be putting microphones in cars. They want to listen to what everybody's going to be saying and what type of conversations you have. Vehicles, if you don't leave your phone in them, they're pretty much the ultimate private travel. You tint your windows, you jump in the truck, you leave your phones at home, you grab your wife, you get in, and you go across town, you go out to the woods, you go out hunting, you do whatever you want. It's really the last aspect of freedom. That is why they're doing the truck shortages. That's why they're pushing the EV. And that's why I've encouraged people to stop supporting this bull crap. I still get emailed through, it's coming anyways, Austin. You just need to deal with it. Like, how about no? How about I don't deal with it? How about I don't support it? How about the vast majority of Americans that are awake don't support it? What happens when they have EV vehicles? Nobody buys them. They sit on the lot. They're just pieces of junk. They're lithium ion batteries. They're one of the most toxic substances to mine. If you ever look at a lithium, basically strip mine, it looks like a radioactive waste site on the outskirts, not just the mine, not just the hole. Nothing will grow for like 3 to 4 mile diameter, a radius around the strip mine. It's so stinking toxic, but yet we're doing it for the environmental health because it's less toxic. What happens in 10 to 15 years when we have literally fields of vehicles with dead batteries in them? We have nowhere to dispose of them. The cars are utterly worthless because the batteries cost more than the car does themselves. Nobody wants to bring up this topic, Doug.
Yeah, it's making that 1976 AMC Pacer look pretty good now, isn't it? Okay, yeah. Or the 71 Ford Pinto, pretty good, isn't it? Yeah, you know, and here's the thing, too. None of this is going to affect the elite class. They're still going to be driving around in, you know, the big Suburbans or Cadillac Escalades or whatever. And it's, you know, but this is a crackdown. And you're right about the vehicles too. I'll be damned. And I mean this, I'm never going to get an electric vehicle. I probably won't live that long anyway. But the bottom line is, we have to fight back. See, again, this all comes down to, what you said earlier, you know, none of this that we're talking about is about health, is about public safety, is about for the public good. It's all about power. And this is all a power grab. And if we don't get this right now, we can bend over and kiss our behinds goodbye. Because our kids' futures, goodbye. It's just not going to work, brother. It's just, and I implore everyone listening to this. This brings me back to, especially if you've got kids. I make an appeal to you: take nutritional supplements, quality supplements. Take care of yourself, but give them to your children. Start early. Go to healthmasters.com. Please do this. Don't go to CVS or Walgreens and buy your supplements. Buy from a place that is a quality, that offers a quality product, and that's healthmasters.com. Please do this, because after I am long dead, you folks are going to have to carry on. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I've seen Health Masters products work wonders, whether it be on type 2 diabetic situations, whether it be with the immune system, to lower cholesterol, you know, Lipitor. Take Lipitor, doggone it. You're not taking your Lipitor. Your cholesterol's too high. You know what? Health Masters, do a little research at Health Masters, and you'll see. You don't, in my view, I don't need Lipitor, okay? I don't. So healthmasters.com. So that's my sales pitch, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You need to do this because we need to be able to fight effectively, because if we stop, if we can't, if we don't do this, you know what? It's over. Go ahead, sir.
Well, especially for the kids, Doug. I mean, and we see there's a war right now for the kids that's unprecedented, and I don't think anybody's ever witnessed before as far as on this extent towards children. And you're absolutely right. Keeping them healthy, that's why we have the Ultimate Multiple Chewable. That's an incredibly good product. I even eat them sometimes. I'll take one from the kids, and they're like, oh, Dad, give me my vitamin back. I'm like, okay. And it's so important that we also continue to raise them right. You know, what they're doing right now with Pfizer getting approval to start injecting 6-month-old to 4-year-olds with a COVID injection is downright child molestation, child abuse, atrocity. This is so horrific. This topic is even occurring. And the fact that they're running clinical trials on children this young for a virus that literally has almost no impact on them whatsoever from a death standpoint. You have more children that die from drowning and slip and falls than you do ever with COVID for years and years and years, even if you stack COVID statistics. It's absolutely horrific they would go to this extent, but they want to get on the shot schedule so they can get full immunity to what's going on. Next, what they're doing is they're going to start trying to use the school systems, as they already have, as communist indoctrination platforms, but to also to continue to inject these kids with whatever more cocktails they continue to come up with. This just came out of California. This is very troubling. Lawmakers down in California have fast-tracked 3 child health bills that will further erode parental rights and infringe on parents' ability to maintain medical freedom. The 3 fast-track bills involve COVID-19 vaccinations for children for school enrollment, meaning it will be mandated that the child has the COVID injection in order for them to go to school, period, in California. The other will allow minor children, minors, any age, minors, to make their own vaccine decisions away from their parents, meaning they can come into little 5-year-old Timmy and say, hey, Timmy, you haven't gotten your 42nd HIV booster this month yet. Do you need to get your shot? He's like, oh,
sure, I'll get my shot again. I'll get a lollipop.
Bam, hit it. They never even have to notify or ask the parents about anything. That's this bill. The third one is it requires healthcare staff to complete cultural humility training to provide trans-inclusive healthcare. Now, as I've been very clear, and I've been 100% accurate about it, this giant twisted perversion transgender ideology they're trying to force upon everybody, and even much so the young children, is nothing short again of child abuse, and it's designed to normalize and bring in pedophilia next. That is what it's always been about. That is the overall goal, and to make sure they confuse the children as much as they can. When you have a child that's 5, 6, 7 years old, and you tell him he can be a girl one day, a boy next day, a walrus the next day, a ZBV, whatever they want to call these pronouns now, then that child has no identity. You end up with a child that has identity disorder. They do not, they have almost like a split personality. They never really will figure out who they are if that continues, that behavior continues to go. And by the time they're adults, they're going to be so scrambled in the brain, much less trying to fight back and stand up for rights and freedom. They're just going to be trying to figure out what toilet they're supposed to use that day and what gender they're supposed to be attracted to, or if they're just like dogs. I don't know. That's the confusion that they're trying to pervert into these young children. There's no legitimate purpose whatsoever under any circumstances. 5-year-olds need to be taught about transgender studies at all. Complete and total perversion is what it is. And the reason why California is doing this is because they're trying to get it set up that the schools, A, are going to be forcing COVID shots and whatever other shots they come up with. B, they're going to be able to give them the shots without any parental consent. And C, they're going to continue to push this transgender ideology on these young kids. That is why it is so important you get very, very active in your local school board and get as many people up at those school board meetings to raise Cain and call them out for what they are and what they're teaching. It is not okay. If you can't make a difference doing it, pull the kid out. Put him in private school, put him in a charter school, homeschool them, put him in a homeschool co-op like I do with our kids. Figure out options. And I know a lot of times it's not convenient. I know even what we do, it's not convenient at all a lot of times. But it doesn't matter. Convenience isn't even a factor to me anymore when it comes to my children. They are my overall priority and goal all the time down here. And so people have to start doing this, because if we lose this young generation, it's done. Because like you said, you know, you're my, you know, towards my dad's age, I'm 33 right now. You know, I got a solid deal left. I'm still in my prime. But once I start to phase out, if there's nobody below me to actually stand up and voice their opinion and go to the school board meetings and go to the county commission meetings and keep fighting, it's it. They win by default, because nobody actually even comes to fight. They just say, okay, whatever you want, we'll do it. And we'll go along with it. And that is why it is so important You teach your children right. Teach them biblical principles and train them up and keep them off the stinking iPads. I'm so sick of going out places and kids just want to sit there and shove their face in the screen for 5 hours. I see them like, dude, let them play. Let them do something. My kids don't even own iPads. They're not even allowed to play with our phones. They don't need it. I grew up without any type of electronic technology, and I did just fine. So did everybody else around me. It's this new normal society that if by the time a kid's 4 or 5 years old, he's got to have a phone strapped to his hip or an iPad strapped to his hand. It's complete and total idiotic. It's just idiotic behavior. But again, they pushed it, they pushed it, they pushed it to make sure they continue to dumb down the children. And the masks have been even further crucial in dampening their developmental skills, their speech therapy, and also being able to contact and build relationships with other people. Again, their overall goal to break the psyche of the younger children. And I've had enough of it, Doug, and I'm calling all of it out every time I'm everywhere. I'm extremely vocal about this now. I am done with it.
You know, had we been done with it, like you, and you've been very consistent, and a lot of people I've talked to have been very consistent. But there's, you know, Americans especially, and people in the West seem very cordial. I'm getting this fixed. Okay. Anyway, eventually, when the medical system becomes unscrewed, well, maybe I won't get it fixed out. But here's the thing: we've been very cordial about how we've responded to these crackdowns, this power grab. We've got to stop being so cordial, and I believe that we have to. If I really said what I believed, I'm sure I'd be taken off the air. But I think suffice it to say that I don't think this is going to end well, my man. I really don't. I wish it was different. Have we crossed the Rubicon? Can we still save this without bloodshed?
What I just saw in Canada today was very disturbing to me. The fact of what they're doing now, preventing people, basically making it illegal to donate to somebody of your choice, basically making it illegal now to protest and block a roadway. And I get the aspect of this is incredibly inconvenient for everybody. I get that. I mean, they are making such a statement up there, and I am proud of them for doing it. Blocking the doggone largest bridge between the United States and Canada. I mean, that you want to talk about some stones some of these truckers have on them. I mean, that's a big deal. That is something you just wake up and we're like, you know what? I think I'm going to get a convoy together and go block the largest bridge of commerce in North America. I'm just going to park my truck there for a week and block it and show everybody we're not going to be told that we have to be injected with experimental shots against our will. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement. I'm proud of them. But again, it shows you now that the tyrants of power do not want to be called out, and they do not want to give up their newfound power. They love their power. And that is why, yeah, I continue to encourage people. This, you know, essentially this nonviolent domestic disobedience, as far as what we're doing now, is extremely crucial to continue to push back and also show them not just about the mandates in general. Those need to go away. Those should have already been gone away. But also to show these banker boys, there's still some fight left in the United States, and they need to rethink their strategy. Now, I'm sure if we push back and we make this stop and we continue to promote freedom, what they'll do is they'll bump the 2030 agenda to Agenda 2040 or Agenda 2050 or Agenda 2060. They're going to keep pushing it. That is why we have to keep raising little Americans, because there will be a point, and I don't know if it's going to be right now, if it's going to be in a couple of years, if it's going to be in 10 years, there will be a point when it will be bloody and it is going to be nasty. And at that point, everybody has to have that resolve to say, listen, we're done with it. We're over it. We're no longer going to take this anymore. And we're going to fight. Because once it reaches a point where somebody has full and complete and total control over you, what are you living? What are you doing? You're a slave that had freedom and you gave it away, you know, for a bowl of porridge, so to speak. You just handed it away. You actually didn't get porridge. You got a shot of experimental injection. You just gave your freedom away for experimental shot. Nah, we're not doing that, Doug. Not on my watch, not on your watch. So continue to stay strong and stay prepped for any fight that may occur in the near future, even if it's not a physical fight, even if it's an information fight, and helping to get the truth out there. Oh, and by the way, as well, everybody saw, got my cast off, arm shrunk up a little bit. Wrist is doing good, though. It's a little stiff from being, 8 weeks like that. But it's funny. A lot of people were asking me, what are you going to do? I ran the Osomag and the Ultimate Multiple Powder, Extra Ultimate Multiple Powder every single day. They told me in the hospital originally that, you know what, we have to do surgery on it pretty soon. We have to do it. Your wrist isn't going to work right. Went back. Oh, yeah, we probably need to do surgery. And I said, you know what? I looked at the x-ray. I said, I'm a betting man. I said, I'm going to keep taking my supplements. And when I get done, I'm going to do physical therapy on it. I'm going to see what it does. You guys aren't going to cut me open and fill me up with the screws. And sure enough, against their entire thing, I got mobility in it. I'm about 80% right now on it. And so I think with a little bit more physical therapy over the next couple of weeks, it's starting to really come to its own. I've only been out of the cast for like 3 days. So I'm pretty proud of the recovery on this one.
I'm glad. So yeah. I noticed that it was off, and I was going to ask you about that. I'm glad you brought that up. But you know what, folks? That's a testament to Health Masters products, healthmasters.com. Again, coupon code maybe? No? Yes?
The Doug 5, I would have activated on the show. That way it was ready to go. I didn't forget about it.
Okay.
Everything on the website, regular price, that coupon will work for them.
Perfect. All right. I know that you've got a tight schedule. You got to bounce. I appreciate you. I appreciate everything that you and your dad do and Health Masters does. And I'll tell you what, I owe a lot of my good health to Health Masters, and I appreciate that. So healthmasters.com, Austin Brower. And folks, tune in to the Ted and Austin Brower Show weekdays, okay, Monday through Friday, as well as on Sundays. It's on the website, healthmasters.com. Austin, thank you very much. Appreciate you.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Folks, that was Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. You know, really, I got to tell you, it makes a difference. The nutritional supplements make a difference indeed. All right. A lot of stuff to get into. It is Friday, February 11th, 2022. Earlier today, of course, Ontario Premier Tyrant, Doug Ford declared a state of emergency over trucker blockade, specifically at Ambassador Bridge, you know, of which he is governs over. And, you know, of course, right after some discussion was broadcast that he was going to relax or remove mandates, right? Well, the question is, if that was his position initially, yesterday, 12 hours ago, 24 hours ago, whatever it was, who got to him? What happened? What happened? And I asked that question deliberately because now I know some people. Well, I don't. Yeah, I know some people who actually worked with Doug Ford. I don't think they were expecting this based on their sentiments to me. Mm-mm. So what happened? I don't know. But how is this being portrayed? If you, for example, if you've got family and you've got friends who really aren't paying attention, and suddenly they hear, they turn on the mainstream media, how is this freedom convoy being portrayed in Canada? Much like, of course, and in fact, even worse than January 6th in terms of its Goebbels-like framework. Source A video, if we can go to this, the clip would be clip number, the first clip at 050. If we can play this. If you just came from another planet, or you just woke up, or suddenly you decided to turn on your TV, switching it from, you know, whatever games you're playing to the news, what would people be saying about what's taking place? What would the mainstream media be talking about? We ready? Oh, okay. This is what you're going to see. And it's a tub full of lies. And I find it very interesting, just as an aside, when the truckers had a meeting this week, CTV, I believe it was CTV, Canadian television, went up to cover it. Rebel News was covering it. And they said, no, you can't, you cannot, no, we don't want you here. You're full of lies to the CTV crew. I was very proud of that because everything that the media, the legacy, irrelevant media, everything that they talk about is lies and slant. It's all twisted. Watch this. It's a, let me see here. It's about a minute, A minute 10 in length. This is what's being portrayed, and it's anything but this. Watch this.
A threat to democracy.
This city is under siege. They are now calling it an occupation.
Alarming situation there in Ottawa.
The police chief is calling it a nationwide insurrection driven by madness.
I think it's part of the globalization of Trumpism.
Canadians know where I stand.
There hasn't been as much violence as some had perhaps projected, but that does not necessarily mean that it has been peaceful.
Residents say they feel like hostages.
Some protesters harassed a soup kitchen.
These anti-vaxxers actually took food from the mouths of the homeless.
Hungry, yeah.
Because they're so put upon.
The small fringe minority of people who are on their way to Ottawa or who are holding unacceptable views that they're expressing.
Many of them are holding Confederate flags.
I've heard there's QAnon supporters in the crowd.
We've seen swastikas. We've seen the Confederate flag.
This is a story of a country that got through this pandemic by being united, and a few people shouting and waving swastikas does not define who Canadians are.
It's a cult.
Yes, it is.
A big issue here.
Now, that Alex Jones played that grouping of videos yesterday, and I thought that was fantastic. So I did borrow it from Alex. Thank you so much. But I got to tell you something, okay? The cult is not what you think it is, all right? Because so you heard that, right? So what, again, just coming out of nowhere or out of a coma, whatever, and you saw this, what would you think? You'd probably think this, right? Look on your screen. This is happening. That's all right. That's all right. Eric the Tech. Gotta love him here. He's got like 25 windows open. Yeah, you think this is happening. Detroit, Los Angeles, Salt Lake City, Atlanta, Philly, Portland, Chicago. Look at that. Oh my gosh. Cities are burning. I mean, and this is a cult. The cult of Antifa, the cult of BLM. That's what you'd think, right? No, no. Bouncy castles? Yes. The roads are blocked. But no cities are burning. There have been no assaults, at least not sanctioned within or by the group of truckers. We're being gaslit by the mainstream legacy irrelevant media, perverse media. We're being gaslit. And I'm going to tell you right now, in talking with some broadcasters over the last 24 hours about this very issue, specifically the Canadian truckers and American truckers as well, because American truckers are now going to start getting involved. And if you think the state of emergency up there, up north, that Doug Ford called because of the Ambassador Bridge blockade, remember, AOC said, hey, protests are supposed to inconvenience people. If they don't, you're not doing it right. Remember her tweets from 2020? Well, suck on this, AOC. Embrace the suck, left. Now, and more here momentarily, but here's a clip now. We're making a difference, right? We are making a difference. Masks are starting to come up. Mandates are starting to be relaxed here in the States in certain areas, right? Think about this. Little victories are handed out like candy at Halloween. And the Patriots embrace these little victories. Now, I'm not downplaying these victories. But again, liberty once lost is lost forever, John Adams. Here's what I want to play this clip for you. Now, this is a father at a school board meeting explaining, now this was on InfoWars as well, explaining about his child. And think about this. For the last 2 years, you've masked children, made children wear masks. And I'm talking to the globalist scumbaggery out there. I'm talking to the little tyrant politicians out there on school boards and on county councils and city councils. I'm talking to you. You've hurt our children. When you know, or when you should have known, or when you should have known, or and you knew that masking children did not work, does not work, never worked. This was never about health. But watch what this father's got to say. Yeah, the same. It would be the same. It's a line number two. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Eric and I are talking amongst ourselves. Yeah. Yeah. So you got that time. Hang on, folks. You got the time, right? All right. All right. So just let me know when it's queued up. But I want you to pay attention to this. And more than that, pay attention to the crowd, too. The only difference that I would have, if I would have been speaking, I'm not wearing no damn mask. Ain't happening. Because a mask, in this case, as in most cases, unless you're wearing a super-duper mask with a rebreather and such, is a mind-control device. But listen to what this father's got to say. And this is heartbreaking, but this is what these people have done and will continue to do unless they are stopped. Go ahead.
And beyond anything else, she loves school. The harm you have done to her, she still loves school. She loves her teachers, her therapists, her helpers, above all, her principal at Scott School. Her team goes above and beyond for her. Her LBS has gone to the moon and back for her. She's a happy and outgoing girl. And the countless positive and influential people that have helped her along the way, her team and her principal at Scott School have been such great role models to her. Her dream is to work there someday. She talks nothing else than wanting to be a teacher or wanting to go to school and be and work at school. I can only name a few people in her life that have harmed her and actively participated in holding her back and stopping her progress, and almost every one of them is in this room tonight. The past 2 years have been shameful as the district has been busy lauding themselves while they enact policies that have absolutely been devastating to her growth. We have seen 2 years of almost no growth, missed goals removed. Her team is doing everything that they can. We've hired specialists. She still loves school. My 10-year-old daughter has kept these feelings to herself about how much she desperately wants to take her mask off. When we told her that it may be possible on Monday, she cried, tears. She jumped up and down. She told us that she was so excited that people may finally be able to understand her. You have harmed her so much with this. Everybody talks about everybody's got to be safe. Everybody's got to have everything. And we've left so many children behind. We've tried to protect her. This morning, she got up before us and she started singing a song to her dolls about how excited she was that kids were finally going to be able to see her smile, that she was going to be able to see other kids' smiles, that kids would be able to understand her, and she would stop being picked on because they could not understand her through her mask, because her speech has been delayed even more than her special needs. She is a strong girl, but when I heard her do that, and I heard the things that she said, it broke me. I will never forgive myself for not fighting more. I feel that I have failed her for not fighting more. This district uses hashtags be bold. Next to everything, you continue hiding behind others instead of leading and fighting for the kids that need you the most. You've left them behind while you say that there's no lost learning. The vulnerable, like my daughter, have lost, and she won't get these things back. Her team is doing everything they can, and we respect them, and we'll go do anything for them. But you have failed them.
Time.
On behalf of the whole board, thank you for your comments.
Listen. Wait for it.
I'm going to write before you start. I'm just going to remind all individuals in this audience and in our overflow rooms need to have on a mask.
If you're a radio listener, you're lucky because you're not a TV viewer. They're all wearing damn masks, including him.
And they're all nodding and agreeing. They should all take their mask off and say, we want these people arrested that followed this. Instead of submitting, America wasn't built on all this cucking and crap. These people started a war with us. They're a bunch of behavioral psychologists. They're eugenicist pedophiles. Eugenics pedophiles. Eugenics pedophiles. And now they're starting nuclear war with Russia. These people have got to be removed. You know how mentally ill these psychotic behavioral psychologists are? And almost every damn one of them is a pedophile.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Alex. And I will add this to those of you behind that plexiglass, there or elsewhere. That plexiglass is not going to protect you. You know, there's a lot to unpack in that video clip, that father. Are you going to be in that position where you're going to say, I'll never forgive myself for not fighting more? Because remember, it's only a mask. It's only a mask. I don't want to cause a dust up. I don't want to create a scene. It's only a mask. Folks, this is purely about power and control. Purely. And to show you again now, how bad does this have to be? And let me ask you parents out there. 2 years into this, let me ask you if you are a parent. And folks, the older demographic that we have, and I appeal apparently to an older demographic. If you've got children who have children, or if you've got grandchildren, whatever. Is this okay with you? This happened in Elgin, Illinois. And it's 15 seconds, I think, 14 seconds in length. I'm not sure. It's very, very short. This is a video. I don't know who took the video of a child being locked inside of an office for not wearing a mask in Elgin, Illinois. Okay, now, you know, folks, how I feel if this was my grandchild. It wouldn't be my grandchild because I know I know Eric the Tech. Okay, it wouldn't be my, believe me, I know Eric, it would not be my grandchild. And I know my daughter, his wife. And I know my stepson. This would not be any of my grandchildren. Let's play this and I've got some things to say on the other side. This will break your heart. Here it is.
It is the law by Governor Pritzker to let me out of this room. You can't lock me in a room. You can't lock me in here. Please let me out.
You know, so Twitter is a sewage pit. Okay. And, so I was interested to see the response by others on Twitter. And I cultivate clips like this from Twitter because it's a sewage pit. But there's a sense of a barometer setting in there of what people are thinking, what people are saying. Bots aside, okay? The comments were absolutely detestable and sickening. What did you see in that video, folks? You saw a child inside a room because he was not wearing a mask. And the tweet said something about being locked in the room. If you watch carefully, you saw the door being opened just a tad, right? But what happened after that? There was somebody on the other side of that door. You could see through the window that shut that door. Somebody a lot bigger, a much bigger adult, and closed the door. The Twitter comments amused me, saddened me. Well, what are you talking about? He wasn't locked in. That door wasn't locked. You could see by the footage, it wasn't locked. He was prevented from leaving that room because he did not wear a mask. Despite Illinois, of course, dropping the mask mandate for schools. Here's another clip, another video. Now, this could very well be the same child. Some say, well, same school district, same clothes, same. This could be the same child. I don't know. But more importantly, I don't care, and nor should you. Perhaps a different time, different room, same child. And if that's the case, let me tell you something. Blood would flow. Go ahead and watch, or yeah, watch this. Go ahead and play that.
They have me locked in this room. They have me locked in this room.
So there is a locked door. And the Twitter comments were equally disgusting. Oh, it's the same kid. What are you worried about? That's not how we fight. But, you know, there are people out there who celebrate and embrace the hostage taking of our children. Not only embrace it, but they endorse it and they promote it. Not the least of whom is the redheaded Chucky doll. Actually, the Chucky doll makes her look, or she makes the Chucky doll look a lot less scary. Watch this. Listen to what she's got to say. And tell me, folks, tell me, again, this is about health as opposed to mental conditioning. Go ahead and play that clip.
It'd be too much to ask.
He says that his concern is about harmful emotional, academic, and psychological effects of putting kindergartners in masks for hours at a time. Is there any concern from officials that you guys talked to in your early pre-decisional discussions about that?
No, there's not. And I will tell you from personal experience, my rising kindergartner told me 2 days ago she could wear a mask all day, and she's just happy to go to camp and go to school. And the objective from all of our public health officials has been clearly, and our Secretary of Education, kids need to be in school. We know there's a mental health impact of them not being in school, and we should take the mitigation measures needed in order for them to be in school and in the classroom, including masking and including allowing that to be part of a reality in these schools to keep the community safe.
What camp is she sending her child to? You know, mitigation practices, she mentions. When the studies show, the science shows that these masks do nothing to prevent the spread, especially in that age bracket, in that age group. So the question I have, does she know that she's lying, or is she just flat out ignorant of the facts? Either way, it's not a good look for a little redhead Chucky doll.
And your child said that because you told her to say that.
Exactly. The programming is off the charts.
Yeah, your child's gone, brainwashed.
If that even happened, you know, 500 for things that didn't happen there. Yeah, you know, if that even happened, your child, you should be investigated for child abuse. So, but what happens when a child is told, or when a classroom is told, hey, you know what? The masks come off tomorrow. You don't have to wear masks anymore. What happens to an elementary school, group of elementary school kids? How do you think they'll react? That's okay. Mommy Chucky doll said that, you know, I told Mommy Chucky doll that I like wear, I don't care. It's okay. I can wear a mask. I prefer to wear a mask. And perhaps maybe that might be appropriate in that situation, but I digress, right? So, what do you think the response would be if you stood up in front of a class and said, hey, you know what? The mask can come off tomorrow. Well, ask and you shall receive. We do have a video from children in a Las Vegas school, elementary school. 26 seconds. Here's their reaction when told about no masks. Watch this.
Starting tomorrow, we don't have to wear masks anymore.
Yeah! Somebody want to send that, Eric the Tech, you want to send that that video clip to Chucky? Yeah, thank you. Eric's getting right on that, folks. So you know, look, the masks are just a very small part of this. You know this. We've been talking about this ad nauseum, right? I mean, enough. Let's get back, if you don't mind, let's get back to what's going on in Canada. Because to show even the most hardcore leftist moron, and at least in my view, that none of this is about health, that none of this is about your welfare and safety, that the truckers represent something bigger than a mask. They represent our freedom. This comes from a nurse. And the scenario is this. CBC, Canadian Broadcasting, and I was on CBC back in, I think it was 2006 or something, for an hour they had me on. And it was pretty interesting. I still have the video somewhere here. But anyway, the CBC journalists were out there in the streets in Ottawa. And this nurse confronts the journalists. Now, this is about 2 minutes. And listen to what she's got to say. But more importantly, watch. Watch the faces of these so-called journalists. Watch their face. This is so critically important to understand because they know. They know. And they know we know. Go ahead and watch this.
Yeah, thanks, Pat.
Thank you for your work.
Thank you.
So now that your job is done, do you actually believe the stuff that you say out of curiosity, or do you just kind of do the script that you're told to repeat? I'm just curious because you have destroyed my life, CBC. You write a lot of hit pieces about me. My family has been doxxed. I've received death threats. I have a 6-year-old son, a 3-year-old son. I come from a good family. And you've literally destroyed my life because I ask appropriate questions. I just want to know if you have children, if this is actually the world that you feel that, you know, you want to raise kids in, that you think kids, you know, want, should be living in, if this is the future for them. Like, you're young. You actually think this is appropriate? And do you actually believe the work that you do, or is it just a good paycheck? You? Like, CBC has destroyed my life. Like, you should see the hit pieces, many of them, that you guys have written about me. It's disgusting. I'm Kristen Nagel. I'm a nurse. And because of the hit pieces, you guys have totally, like, ruined my career. And I've been fired because of it. People have doxxed my address. People have given me death threats because of the lies that you guys spread and the way that you twist the truth. And I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and kids have never been happier than what has been created here. Why don't you show that truth? Do you see the smiles in the kids? Do you know what has been taken away from them these last 2 years? Do you know 6-year-olds have told me they wanted to cut themselves and kill themselves? Kids want to die because of the last 2 years. Why aren't you showing that? And now you're talking about kids' welfare safety? Now you think kids should be taken from their parents out of these trucks? You're working with welfare services?
They're showing, they're like,
but you're repeating it. You're repeating it. And people are believing it. Why do you think there's people out here counter-protesting? Why do you think Winnipeg, someone drove down 4 protesters purposely and put them in critical care? Why do you think there's actually violence and hate happening? Do you know how divisive this is? Is this actually Canada? Do you know what you're reporting and what you're doing to the people out there? How does that make you feel? You're a young guy.
Doug Ford, I hope you're ready for what is about to happen next. And Joseph Biden and your handlers, of course, Mr. Marbles is nothing but a vegetable in my view. Kamala Harris is too busy sucking up to. Never mind. If that didn't move you, but did you see the looks on the faces? Just what they told us. I'm just following orders. I will never forgive you for what you've done to our children. Did you hear me? not only will I never forgive you, I will never forget. Plexiglass will not protect you. That's not a threat. That's an observation. I'm just saying, you folks have no idea of what is about to happen. And by the way, my sources are telling me, if your pantry's not full by the 1st of March, it's going to be awful lean. Speaking of, I mentioned about Twitter, and that was on Twitter, at Maze Moore, M-A-Z-E-M-O-O-R-E. Now, I don't know this person from Adam, okay? I just found this rather entertaining because this is the way that normal people look at people like Justin Castro Trudeau. And by the way, I mean that. Oh, and by the way, it's become such a thing now. Did you know that all social media has a thing saying Justin Trudeau is the biological son of Pierre Trudeau and his mother, Margaret, right? Because we keep calling him Castro, not just us, but others. But at Maze Moore did just a tremendous job because this is how we see you, Justin Trudeau. Go ahead and watch this.
We stayed focused on following the science, on promoting public health rules, and Canadians stepped up in their communities. They stepped up for their frontline health workers. They stepped up for each other, and Canada has never been so strong and together as we are now. We stayed...
Yeah, well done, Maze Moore. That's how we picture Justin Castro Trudeau. And every leader, including Doug Ford, Joseph Biden, Chucky Doll, Saki, and even the rhinos, that's how we view you. But you know, the winds are changing. Sometimes God has a different plan, right? So globalists understand this. The winds are blowing in a different direction. And to show you just how much God has a hand in this, about changing the winds. Watch this. This is from, I'm thinking Austria, perhaps. Watch this. This has no audio. I'll set this up. Go ahead and play it. So this is a protest that was inspired by the Freedom Convoy. It's my understanding. And I believe this could be Austria, wherever. But it's over in Europe, and you can see. So this is the police spraying pepper spray into a crowd of protesters. Oh, watch this. There they go, spraying it. Ooh, the winds are changing, aren't they? Because that spray came right back and disabled the police. The trucks that were honking. You've heard of the horns, Jericho, right? The walls of Jericho? Folks, we can make a difference. We can make a big difference. And in case you didn't hear this, there will be a lot of buyer's remorse. Those who said, well, it's just a mask or it's just a shot or they believed the hype, believed the lie. Have you heard the latest? Two high school basketball players collapse mid-game and die on the same day. This has been reported now. In fact, if you look at your screen, this has been reported by NewsWars. It's not normal. Two high school basketball players collapse mid-game and die on the same day. But of course, you folks out there who are listening to this for surveillance purposes will say, well, you know, this happens. No. It is not normal, but maybe this is the new normal. Folks, please share this. Share this message with the people who doubt that the Freedom Convoy is really for freedom, that the people who believe that the government has your best interests at heart. Please share this with everyone you know. because they're coming after us to shut us down. They could take away this platform, but I'm not going to shut up, and I never will, and I know you won't either. Stay tuned to HagmanReport.com. HagmanReport.com. This weekend, breaking news, anything develops, we'll be on with our Canadian sources and as well, bringing you updates when required. Have a good night. God bless.